Hello, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. College Life is a ministry of Countryside Church in Stillwater, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit countryside.church or follow us on Instagram at CS College Life. We hope you enjoy the message.
But what's described here in this chapter is the rest of the book. Like, this is the whole reason why Paul is writing this letter. This is, whenever I read 1 Thessalonians, this is what got me. And for the rest of the book, whenever I read this, this passage that we're going over tonight is what I think about. And if you were to ask me, like, which passage in 1 Thessalonians has changed your life the most, it'd be this one. And so I'm nervous because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to communicate, like, the gravity of this passage because it is such a big deal. And because we're talking about setting examples and we're talking about following others and that sort of thing, things that we're very comfortable with talking about, I'm worried that we'll check out and we will miss it. Because what's talked about here is absolutely incredible. We're talking about the type of spiritual example someone sets when they have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the type of example that someone sets when they have an intimate relationship with the Spirit. Now, to define that word example, example just means someone or something that you can imitate, follow, or become. An example is just someone or something that you can imitate, follow, or become. And so when I think of a spiritual example in my life, I think of a man named Shay. Now, I know a couple of you guys in this room know Shay. Shay is a director at a summer camp. And when I met Shay, I was about 13. And a couple of things that embody Shay, if you knew him, he embodies intensity. Like, if you were to put intensity into a human being and say that is intensity, it would be Shay. Shay embodies intensity. He also embodies passion. And he embodies a love for Jesus. If you're ever wondering where Scott, like, learned passion, it was from Shay. Like, he is intense about people knowing who Jesus is. He's intense and passionate about knowing Jesus even more than he has already. Like, he's the type of guy that got a bunch of the guys up early in the morning, like 6 a.m., and he said, just wear tennis shoes. And we met at this fountain, and then he was like, I want you to follow this guy who's a really good runner, and you guys are going to follow him, and I'm going to be in the back, and don't let me pass you. And you're like, what? And then you just start running. And we're running, and then we're running some more, and then a mile goes by, and 2 miles go by, and we're still running, and everyone's sweating and dying, and you're like, where are we going? What are we running towards? Why are we running? And everyone's running, and then finally, you're about to die, and everyone's like, like, trying not to let Shay pass him, and Shay's just in the back, like, shouting at you, like, keep going! And then all of a sudden, you reach this clearing where there's a cross at the end of it, and you run there, and that's where you stop. And so everyone kind of is like stopping at the cross. And Shay, who's just one of the fittest men I've ever met in my life, it's almost like he just strolled up there just that morning. Like, he's hardly sweating at all. Gets up there, and he's essentially just like, that's how we should chase after Jesus. And that was the point of all of the running, is like, that's why you chase Jesus. To the end of yourself. Even past the end of yourself. Further than you ever thought. And then you think about it and you realize, oh my gosh, we were all encouraging one another to keep running. And it was actually a beautiful analogy. And you're like, wow, Shay's a genius. But he's just intense. But with that intensity came an intimate relationship with God himself. Like, you could tell that his intensity and his passion came from his relationship with the Creator. Where he wasn't just an intense guy, just that's because how he was. He was intense about Jesus. I saw how Shay lived, and I was able to follow it and become intense about Christ as well. Like, it wasn't just Shay's rhetoric and the words that he said that I was able to follow. It was I got to see him intensely and passionately follow his wife and love her and intentionally, passionately follow Jesus and love his kids and lead all of these other guys to know Jesus more. I got to watch it happen, and I was able to imitate that. And so the question I want to ask you guys is, who has been your spiritual example? For some of us, it might be our parents that were our spiritual example, or like a close relative, or maybe your own Shay, or maybe Shay himself, who knows? But like, so we all have someone, hopefully, that we've been looking towards a spiritual example. But for those of us in this room that haven't really ever had one, we might be thinking like, oh, like, spiritual example, David Platt, or Francis Chan, or John Piper, or Charles Spurgeon, these guys that we have heard of or maybe seen on, heard their sermons or seen on a stage before. And I want to kind of pump the brakes a little bit and just say, like, I love those guys. And those guys have impacted us a ton. But we can't follow their lives because Spurgeon's dead. And the only time we ever see Piper or Chan or Platt is while they're on a stage. We can hear about their lives, but none of us actually know what their lives look like. Today, we're going to talk about a spiritual example. And we're not just going to talk about words that we use. It's going to be a lifestyle. To where someone looks at how you live and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, I can follow that. And when they follow that, they become closer to Jesus. Here's the real question. Have you ever imagined being the spiritual example for someone else? Not just a spiritual example for someone else, but have you ever imagined being the spiritual example for someone else? Like when this person's walking around, they're like, man, I want to follow Jesus like Brandon does. Or man, like I really want to follow Jesus like Chris does. Have you thought about yourself being someone else's spiritual example? The spiritual example, like my Shay kind of thing. And do you believe that the Spirit has the power to make you into that spiritual example? Do you believe that the Spirit has the power to make you into that spiritual example? So, with all of that set up of like, do you believe that that could be you and that the Spirit has the ability to do that? Let's look at this passage here. Don't look at him. He's on a tear. I told you it'd happen. Look at the passage. We're going to start halfway through verse 5 because we talked about the first half 2 weeks ago. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, here's what God has to say about you being a spiritual example. It starts off and it says, You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we've had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Do you believe that the Spirit has the power to make you into a powerful example? He starts off and he says, you know what kind of men we prove to be among you. And so a little bit of background, if you are just now joining us, 1 Thessalonians was written by Paul, Silvanus, or Silas, and Timothy. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were men who went on mission to go share the gospel with people who have never heard it before. One of those places that had never heard is Thessalonica. And so they show up in that place. They're there for 3 weeks. And during that time while they're there, they see a bunch of people come to know the Lord. And then intense persecution follows them to where they have to leave Thessalonica after being there for 3 weeks. Now imagine being a Christian for 3 weeks. And then your one example of what Christianity looks like is gone. And now you're by yourself with a bunch of other Christians who really have no idea what's going on. What are you guys going to do? Because now you're facing intense persecution and you really don't know what's going on. Paul, Silas, and Timothy kind of have the same realization. And about a month or so later, they send Timothy back to Thessalonica and he comes back to Paul and they write this letter. And that is what Paul says. He says, you guys know what kind of men we prove to be among you. He's saying this because the Thessalonians watched Paul, Silas, and Timothy live. They know what kind of men Paul, Silas, and Timothy are because they saw their actions and heard their words. They know what kind of men Paul, Silas, and Timothy are because they saw their actions and they heard their words. He says, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you. The way you prove who you are is through how you act and how you speak. In Luke 6, Jesus says, out of overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so Paul, Silas, and Timothy prove who they are, followers of Jesus, because of how they acted and because of how they spoke. But then there's this really important part at the end of verse 5 that everyone needs to key in on. He says, you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. For your sake. For your sake essentially just means for you. We acted. We proved to be a certain way for you. Now, don't get me wrong. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are not living for the approval of the Thessalonians. They're not worried that the Thessalonians are going to think a certain way about them. What he's communicating, It's for you that we chased after you to share the gospel. It's for you that we lived following Jesus with everything that we had because we wanted you to follow Jesus' way. We wanted you to know God this way. For your sake is not them trying to win their approval. For their sake is saying we are living because we desire you to know so badly. And to even think about it, like Paul, Silas, and Timothy, this Thessalonica is not the first place that they went. They didn't start acting like this when they got there to be concerned with the kingdom of God and other people. Like Paul, Silas, and Timothy's character was shaped around impacting others. So what is our life shaped around? If the Spirit of God shaped Paul, Silas, and Timothy's lives to be shaped around other people impacting God, is ours. And I can actually already kind of hear some of you guys say, well, Scott, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were called to missions specifically. And I'd say, you're right. So then that brings us to this kind of idea. So special that like none of us are going to get there. Like they have a special calling on their lives. None of us can imitate their lives because the Spirit worked in them so powerfully for a specific purpose that none of us in this room can actually follow their lives. Or were they, quote unquote, normal Christians? Because if they're normal Christians, not only are Paul, Silas, and Timothy's lives attainable for us, but the Spirit will shape our lives to look like theirs. It's kind of looking into our own future. So either there are anomalies and the way that they lived is unattainable for us, or the way that they lived is where the Spirit's going to sanctify us. And it's the direction that our lives are going to go. And the answer is in the next verse. Check this out. Verse 6, Paul says in verse 5, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. Verse 6, and you became imitators of us. He says to the Thessalonians, you became imitators of us, which means that these three-week-old Christians imitated Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Well, if these Christians who have been Christians for 3 weeks and have only heard about Jesus for 3 weeks imitated Paul, Silas, and Timothy, then you, Bible Belt Church Bubble Christian, can also imitate Timothy, Paul, and Silas as well, right? If these guys who were in Thessalonica, who really didn't know very much, didn't have the Bible, didn't have really any knowledge, imitated them, then us, who are here hearing a sermon about Paul, Silas, and Timothy and the Thessalonians, and many of us have taken theology classes and read the Old Testament and have the Spirit inside of us, we too can imitate Paul, Silas, and Timothy. The fact that the Thessalonians were imitating Paul, Silas, and Timothy proves that they were not anomalies. That Paul, Silas, and Timothy's life is a life lived, yielded, made Paul, Silas, and Timothy an example. And imitating Paul, Silas, and Timothy, the Thessalonians' lives were now also shaped around impacting others for the kingdom. But how did they imitate Paul, Silas, and Timothy? Like, how were they able to do this? It's in the same verse. He says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word. You received the word. They received the word being the gospel. Justin talked a lot about the gospel this morning, but in case you missed it, the gospel is good news. The gospel actually is what Christianity is based off of. See, the reality of this world is that it is very broken. Can I get an amen? Y'all are sleeping. No, it's super broken. Like, things suck. We're about to all have tests, and some of us get broken up with, and it's, like, really hard in life, and we have bills. And even worse, like, there's deaths in the family, and there's cancer, and there's a bunch of things that plague us in this world. This world sucks, and it's broken. And even on top of that, we contribute to that brokenness, where most of our relationships actually are messed up because we screwed them up. And then we chase after these things that we want, and we try to satisfy ourselves, but it never actually is satisfying enough, where we keep having to watch the next TV show and the next TV show or play the next video game or the next hour, and we chase after this satisfaction that we can't attain. It's like trying to hold sand in your hand, and it just disappears. This world is broken. But the good news, the gospel, is that it wasn't meant to be that way, and God actually wants to restore it. You see, God created us to be fully satisfied so it doesn't slip through our hands. He became a man named Jesus, lived a perfect life, and died for you. If you're wondering why did he have to die? When we live for our own way, we chase our own satisfaction. We rebel against the way that God designed us to be satisfied. See, God designed us to be satisfied in him and in him alone. And so whenever we do that, we rebel against him. We offend an infinite and holy God. And he died and resurrected to restore that relationship so that when we trust him, we say, God, you have my everything. He saves us. We receive the word. And when we receive the word, this is the best part. We just sang a song about the Holy Spirit coming and resting on us. Well, the Holy Spirit is God's spirit. And when we receive the gospel with faith, God dwells inside of us. And we get to have a relationship that is unbroken, communication with the creator of the universe. So when he says here, you received the word, he's saying, Thessalonians, you have received the Holy Spirit because not only have you put your faith in Jesus, but God has come to live inside of you in a relationship. And it's in their receiving of the word that they were able to start imitating the lives of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. It's in them receiving the word that the Holy Spirit shaped their lives to be concerned with others so that others can be impacted for the kingdom. Two weeks ago, that was all we talked about, was receiving the gospel in a way that completely changes and reshapes our lives. But he says in verse 6, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord because you received the word in much affliction. The affliction that they received was actual affliction. It wasn't just like they had tests that week. It was the equivalent of a Muslim coming up to you and saying, hey, if you convert to Islam, it'd be great. But if you convert to Islam, everyone in your classes will want to kill you and the cops will chase you around. That would not make you want to convert to Islam, one. But two, that was the same persecution and affliction that the Thessalonians were facing. To where when they converted, everyone wanted to either kill them or put them in prison. And many of them were killed and put in prison. And Paul here is saying that you received the word like we did, and you received the word like Jesus, because you received it in affliction. You were punished for receiving the word. But they received the word in affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, he says. The Thessalonians received the gospel with joy that comes only from the Spirit of God. Now, to take a pause on that, can anybody imagine what that looks like? Like, this isn't just like smiling happy, like, ha ha, joy. This is a joy that comes from the Spirit of God himself. What does that joy look like? Does any of us in this room, can our lives be described as having the joy of the Holy Spirit? What does that look like? Because the Thessalonians were imitating Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They were able to imitate Paul, Silas, and Timothy's life and the reception of the word with the joy of the Spirit. The joy contrasts against the affliction, to where the worse the affliction became, the more joy that they had. It's this overcoming of the darkness and this satisfaction that we talked about. It is this joy that comes when we reject the rest of everything and we just yield and we be with the Spirit of God. It is a joy that is undescribable. It's joy by having God's Spirit inside of us. Do we have that? And if not, how do we get that, right? If you're sitting here like, I don't know if I have the joy of the Spirit, don't worry. I still think you're saved. I'm not saying you're not, but I'm saying seek God for that. Ask him for that. Try to find and figure out what that means and what that is, because the Thessalonians have it. And when people see your life and they see that you have the joy of the Spirit, that would make Jesus all that more attractive. But when they see your life, do they? Because receiving the word with the joy of the Holy Spirit causes something awesome to happen. Look at verse 7. Notice how verse 7 starts, not verse 7. Yeah, verse 7. Notice how verse 7 starts with so that. So he literally says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that. Which means that in their receiving of the word with the joy of the Spirit, it caused this to happen. Think about this as we read it. So that you became an example. You, the three-week-old Thessalonians, became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. Verse 8, for not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere so that we need not say anything. So let's just walk through that real quick, because that is it. Do you guys see how big of a deal that is? Like, these guys who just became Christians and have been a Christian for maybe a month or so, they became an example. An example is something or someone that you follow in order to like be like and become. They became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. Macedonia is like the Roman state that they're in, and Achaia is the Roman state to the south in Greece. Imagine, this is my map. You like it? Macedonia, Achaia. Looks kind of like that. That'd be the equivalent of us saying here, College Life, because the way that you guys are living, all the believers in Oklahoma and in Texas are living like you. Do y'all, like, that's what Paul just said about the Thessalonians, these three-week-old, maybe month-old Christians. What did their lives have to look like? How did they attain that sort of example? All of these Christians in Macedonia and Achaia were living like the Thessalonians. Why? Because the Thessalonians were yielded to the Spirit of God. We're titling this series The Holy Spirit's Church because these guys haven't really had a ton of training, but because they imitated Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they really were walking with the Spirit and being led by God's Spirit. The question that we want to ask is, what was at work inside of them for them to be able to do this? And it is the Holy Spirit. There is no other explanation. These young believers get to set an example for all of the other ones in Macedonia and in Achaia because of the Spirit. And not only that, he says in verse 8, not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia. That'd be, not only has the gospel sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God, so your trust in God, has gone forth everywhere so that we need not say anything. Essentially, because of the Thessalonians and the way that they were living, Paul did not need to remind them of the faith. You read the letter of Romans, you read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you read Colossians, Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians. All of these letters are written to remind these churches how to walk in the faith. But the Thessalonians were living in such a way that Paul literally said, I don't need to tell you what our faith is about, because your words and your actions tell everyone what our faith is about. Can you imagine what it's like to be described like that? Can you imagine having a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with his Spirit that causes your life to look like that? To where when a mature believer comes up to you, they'd say, I don't need to remind you about what Christianity is, because the way that you are living is setting an example for all of us. And your faith is going forth from you in words and actions. I don't need to tell you what it's like to live with Jesus, because you're doing it. That testimony alone is powerful. The only way that they were able to do that is with the Spirit of God. And because they're walking with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit makes them into an example. And in their example, he says in verse 8, the word of the Lord had sounded forth from them in Macedonia and Achaia. We at College Life try to live with the Spirit in such a way that our words and actions sound forth the gospel. This is why all of our small groups go fishing every week. We go onto campus or into a place that's populated so that we can meet people. And out of overflow of our heart, the mouth will speak. And in our words and in our actions, they will interact with Jesus. That is our hope and our goal, is to meet folks, become friends with them, so that they can have an interaction with Christ. The Holy Spirit on our lives demands and inspires this type of change that has an impact on people. But it doesn't just stop in our classes or whenever our small groups go out. It goes forth everywhere. This type of faith goes to the ends of the earth. We talk a lot about the 1040 window, where there's 3.2 billion people who will never hear about Jesus. The Holy Spirit changes us to care for and live for those people to know. Does our relationship with God cause us to care for these folks? But practically, if you guys are engineers and you're thinking, but what did that actually look like? Let's read the next couple verses. Verse 9, for they themselves, that being everyone talking to Paul, Silas, and Timothy, the rest of the people who were following them, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So they're literally, all that they did was they said, we're going to turn to God. And we're not going to really worry about this stuff that we've been doing and the things that are going on. We're going to turn to God. And in their turning to God, they build this relationship and God causes them to change. But in it, he says that they turned to God from idols. Idols would just be anything that isn't God, that we worship like a God. Sometimes people say that an idol is someone that we care about more than God, but it's literally something that takes God's place. If we have a high care for God and a semi-care for an idol, God should have 100% of that. The idol shouldn't even be there. It's not something that you care about more than God. It's something that literally takes God's place in your heart. A little bit of an embarrassing story, but for Scott, a lot of his idols have to do with sports. And if you, a lot of us have started playing, us, not me yet, but you'll know why. A lot of you guys have started playing fantasy football, and the first day for the NFL was today, and hopefully your teams did well. I played fantasy football like crazy. And if we were to play in high school or even up until my sophomore year of college, I would have smoked you, I promise. Because fantasy football was an idol for me. It was something that I gave my heart to, where all of my time was spent on it. And I actually remember I'm sitting on the second floor of the library playing fantasy football instead of doing homework. And God literally spoke to me and he was like, Scott, fantasy football is an idol. You go to sleep and you're thinking about fantasy football. You wake up and you're thinking about fantasy football. Like you're walking to class, it's fantasy football. And I realized this has been something that consumed me. And I had to turn to God from him, because the more that I thought about this, the more I wanted to do it. But the Lord said, just come to me, focus on me. And the more that I focused on God, the more other things started to pop up. And I realized that a lot of idols in my heart had to do with TV and video games and these things that I loved that aren't necessarily sin, that were taking the place of God in my heart and in my mind. And I turned to God from him and he started to change me more. The example that we set for others, the example that the Holy Spirit makes us into, involves our words and our actions, what we speak about and what we act like. And our actions show what we care about, and out of overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. And so the question is, what do you talk about and what do your actions show that you care about? For a lot of us, it'll be school. A lot of us, our words involve a lot of things that aren't honoring to the Lord. And our actions would show a life that maybe doesn't involve 100% of a care for God. But that is why we lean on his Spirit more and we turn to God, because when we turn to him, he transforms who we are and those idols go away. And the Holy Spirit makes us into an example where people are able to say that you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word with much affliction. You received the word with the joy of the Spirit. When we turn to God, he transforms us into the type of people where folks can say, you guys became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia, or to Oklahoma and Texas. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. The Holy Spirit, like he transformed the Thessalonians, transforms us into an example. He shapes our lives around caring about other people, knowing God more. And so if the Holy Spirit shapes us into an example, I want you guys to imagine with me. Imagine what countryside would look like if verses 6-8 were true of us. Like, imagine the type of relationships that we as college students would have with the adults and the kids ministry, and the types of things that we would be doing throughout the week if it was true of countryside, that all of Oklahoma at least were following in how countryside followed Jesus. That'd be cool. But even more closer to us, imagine what college life would look like if this is true for us. even just go to the Christians on campus. Imagine what your lives and our lives would look like if verses 6 through 8 were true of us on campus, where other Christians at the Eagle Heights and Sunnybrook and BCM and Crew and Stumo were like, man, we want to know Jesus like them, because the way that they're living and the things that they're speaking about is stirring them. It's like they have a relationship with Jesus and they started following in our example. What would college life look like if this was true for us? And imagine what your involvement in your church would look like if verses 6 through 8 were true of you. What would you need to turn away from to turn to God? What sort of things would you be doing and what sort of words would you be speaking if we were setting an example for all believers? But even more importantly, before you get into like the, I need to start doing all of these actions, what would your relationship with God look like if that was true of you? What would your relationship with the Spirit look like if that was true?